And so tonight we are talking with Dr. Josh about family secrets. Should they ever be revealed? And I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Josh onto the line now. Great to have you with us again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I just want to commend you on your discussion and your monologue about World Mental Health Day.
Thanks. Yeah, it's important.
I was listening to it. I couldn't say anything else other than yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, obviously, the compelling story that you just told about your family secret is unique. Every family secret is, but
sure.
I'll throw one out there that plays into what you were saying earlier, which is very often the family secret involves a mental health problem.
Absolutely.
Very often. Yeah. In fact, if you don't take it to the extreme based on what you and I would espouse to, which is one out of every five people suffers it. However, unlike saying maybe we have a child who has diabetes, and that usually comes out pretty quickly, we have a child who suffers from depression, or we have a child or a mother or a father who has not committed, attempted suicide.
Yeah.
Those are huge family secrets that play right into the topic of today. So I just wanted to throw that out there because very often mental health issues are seen as the deep, dark family secret when, frankly, they don't need to be other than the stigma.
I'm reminded, and on you saying that, I'm reminded of seeing it wasn't a documentary, it was a what do you call it, like a fictional piece, a dramatic piece done by the BBC about 10 years ago about the British royal family and how sort of, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred years ago, a child was born unto the British royal family who had, and I can't remember the specific condition, but had a certain condition, a disability, and he was hidden away. Nobody ever heard of this young prince, who I'm assuming wasn't in line to the first in line to the throne. Maybe he was. And you just wonder how many, and that's in the royal family, how many, hidden away. I mean, I was a hidden away child, but how many in just everyday society, because of the shame that is attached to various, conditions and mental health issues and addictions and.
Oh, yes, and that's why I was, we can take this, this can become very sort of juicy and salacious, and we can talk about affairs as family secrets and infidelities and substance abuse and jail time, and, you come up with it, and it's either been a family secret or we've seen a drama about it, or we can keep it, you can dial it back a little bit and talk about things like the happy family or the seemingly happy family where there's terrible marital strife or maybe there is some abuse going on at some level. So all families have secret, or for example, one more, maybe there's a child in the family who's homosexual or transgender, right? So the question becomes, if it's a family secret, do we keep it a secret or do we bring it out? And I'll tell you, Sarah Jane, as a psychologist, we get asked this a lot, particularly because very often we are treating, if you will, we are the place where the family secret gets told to.
Exactly.
It's either, clergy, lawyer, physician, or psychologist. Mm. And we get asked a lot, what do we do? What should we say? Should we keep it a secret? Will it ruin the child? Will it ruin the family? What about the reputation?
Here's the thing, and for me, what of all the situations that that you've mentioned and that we've spoken about, what underpins all of this is shame. Am I right?
Yes. Shame. Yes. Yes. My only hesitation is sometimes there's those family secrets are kept not because of shame primarily, but fear of stigma. So I guess societal shame. And I want to make a distinction because it may not be that the family is ashamed of, but that the family is, frankly, realistic in that if we bring this secret forward, the retribution that will be brought upon because of shame is very real. So it can happen in a couple ways. One, the family can be ashamed, or two, the family can fear and is trying to protect because of societal shame.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me say this, societal shaming. Shaming, not shame.
Sure, yeah, shaming, exactly, exactly. The time is 25 minutes past 11, and tonight on Ask Dr. Josh, we're talking about family secrets. Should a family secret ever be revealed? If so, how? What's the best way to do that? And perhaps you're in a situation where you have a family secret, or you're holding one, or maybe you've only just discovered a family secret and wondering, sort of coming to terms with that, asking yourself, well, why was I kept out of this? And so often it's not the secret itself. You know, in my instance, the issue was my biological mother had an illegal affair with a black man. Well, past 1994, that no longer is an issue, legally speaking, but the lie continued.
Right.
And so the pain for me came around, and I think for everyone else who was told the lie, came around, okay, well, there became a point at which you no longer needed to lie, and yet you did. You no longer needed to keep it a secret, and yet you did. If you have a story that you would like to share, if you have any, want to get some advice, then do give us a call on 021-446-0567. You can drop us a WhatsApp like Martin has. He says that I knew a guy who was 21 years old when his parents told him he was actually adopted. Oh, he felt betrayed and lied to by those he trusted and turned to drinks and drugs, eventually ending up in rehab. As an adoptee, if there are any people listening now, and you are an adoptive parent, this is unsolicited advice. Do not wait until your child is 21 years old to tell them they are adopted. You will not be able to afford the bills that people like Dr. Josh will charge you. It is damaging. It is unfair. You are denying them access to their identity. Please don't do it. And here endeth the sermon. Thoughts, Dr. Josh?
Wow, it's great. And I get asked, hey, that's one that we get asked all the time, yeah, is when do I tell? And let me say this about the secret. I think one of the hardest things about family secrets is that they're complicated emotionally, not just for the secret itself, but this idea about what may happen if the secret comes forward.
Yeah.
And so, like, even the case of what you were describing with your mother or situation similarly, when the secret is no longer required to be secret, sometimes it stays because people are saying to themselves, well, we've made it this far. Why risk it? Why change it? And when I say why risk it, why risk my own comfort?
Sure.
Why would I bring this forward? And so a lot of times it's very selfish reasons for not revealing the family secret. Maybe it's got nothing to do with the person themselves who is the secret. Maybe it's the family themselves who say, well, we like our life right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Right? And that's, I think, the other thing that it brings up psychologically, Sarah Jane, is a lot of times we want to, if we either want to bury it for fear of what it will say to us or the person who's the subject of the secret, or we want to spew it out there to make ourselves, to relieve ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, thank God, I've told everybody. And I will caution you all the time, ask yourself, why am I hiding it, or why am I bringing it forth? Is it for me and my benefit only, or is it for the benefit or protection of the person or the secret itself? Don't just think about yourself. Think about the ramifications for others in the family and in the extended family before you make your decision. That is critical.
In addiction recovery, we have a number of sort of tropes and cliches and things that we like to say to kind of keep us on the straight and narrow. And one of them is that secrets keep you sick. Is that something that you believe can be applied uniformly or not? I mean, do some secrets need to be kept?
Yeah, as soon as you use the word secret, now it sounds like it's something bad.
Mm.
So let's take a really quick example. What about a family member who's suffering from an addiction, and we're not talking about it to the rest of the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Is that bad? Should we tell everybody?
See, that's,
is it important?
Mm, that's, and you're right. I think a lot of it is about semantics and language, isn't it? Because a secret, but by its very nature, it's seen as sort of something, an evidence maybe of a mistrust or something unhealthy. And we're always, you know, Oprah's always telling us to be out in the open, be open, be open. God bless Oprah. But there's a difference, I think, between a secret where and just respecting someone's privacy. Like for example, here's an example for you. So when I was in rehab, I hope my mum's not listening. She definitely is though. When I was in rehab, it wasn't that it was a secret, but it wasn't something that I necessarily at that point wanted announced to the wider community. It wasn't something that people needed to know. So I then went back to England, and at some point I went to the chiropractor. And one of the first things he said to me when I came in was, "Oh, your mum's been telling me all about rehab." And I thought, God, like,
yeah,
it wasn't a secret, but it was kind of about, that's really information on a need to know basis. And you, as my chiropractor, as lovely as you are, you don't need to know.
That's exactly, you make a good point, because let's take it one more to the extreme. This is something that we see a lot, is a family or maybe a couple that's having marital problems.
Mm.
Okay. And, but they, it's the idea, well, we keep that inside the family. They're not getting help.
Yeah.
They're not even going to get help. Or, to your point, a mental health problem, nobody's going to get help because they're keeping it a family secret.
Exactly.
It's a privacy issue. And so, again, the question becomes, you have to ask yourself, why are we not telling anybody? And as soon as you say we're not telling anybody, that's when I start getting concerned, because there are people you could tell.
Mm.
You could tell clergy, maybe. You could tell a psychologist. You could tell a physician, maybe. You could tell a lawyer, maybe. There's a difference between not spouting it out to the world, but also burying it so far.
Absolutely.
That maybe it causes harm. Right? So it's never all or none. And what I always try to tell people is this idea that only your family has the demons, the secrets, is so far from reality. Ask any psychologist, physician, hairstylist, chiropractor.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that is what's so important, is that you don't have to go tell the world, but you also don't have to feel that you shouldn't tell anybody, because in not telling anybody, you potentially could be doing harm to your family.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree. So again, I'm going to go back to using my experience, because it's the only one that I've got. So in my back to my situation, you've got my biological mother who now has left South Africa. She'd moved away. She's living in the States. And despite the fact that it was now at that point sort of 22, 3, 4 years after she relinquished me for adoption, a whole load of stuff's happened. She's not even living the country anymore. Apartheid is technically over. There, still, you know, it wasn't a case of my expectation or my looking back now. It wasn't that I think she should have, you know, put out an announcement in the Mail and Guardian and said, actually, everyone, remember that baby that I told you had died? Well, she's not dead. But the fact that she hadn't told her family the truth, the fact that she hadn't told my half brother the truth, that he had this sister wandering around out there. The fact that her husband at the time, who had also been involved in this sort of the plot, had then remarried, had married somebody and not told that person and had continued with the lie, which just seemed so unnecessary. That to me, like you say, that it's not that you have to bring out an announcement in the dailies, but you can select the people surely that you need to tell. A friend of mine has this theory. He's from a big Italian family, and lots of brothers and sisters, and they have and they've all got pasts, you know. they've all got various mm-hmm. things that they've mm-hmm. done in the past. And she he says to me that they have something called the big kids table. And at 18, the kids in the family get to come to the big kids table. And what that means mm-hmm. is they get to learn about the stuff that they is on a need to know basis. Prior to 18, it hasn't been appropriate to tell them. But past 18, they are members of that family. They are respected as such. And therefore, information is given to them. Thoughts?
If it works, I like it. I like it that it's a cultural norm within that family. I'll tell you, in this day and age, it's more risky, right? Because there's too many points of leak that can happen with social media and texting, et cetera. I mean, if you took all of the ways that somebody might be able to memorialize the family secret, you know, when it was just telephone and letters, there were very few. Now, what if someone texts somebody and they hit text and they send it to the wrong person, right? So I like the idea, but I also would say this, to go back to yours and like the situation with your mother. Mm. I mean, to your earlier point, sometimes the secrets have caused so much shame and pain. True. And trauma.
True.
All the way around, that the person who has kept that secret doesn't even know, can't even fathom, how do I bring it forth? Take the case of abuse, where a situation where a child has been abused by one parent and the other parent knows about it and has witnessed it and never says anything. It's not that they don't know what to do, but they literally become, it's so aversive to bring it forward. Mm-hmm. There's so much painful shame that they make up all kinds of excuses about why it shouldn't be brought forward. Mm. And those are other reasons. And then as time goes on, it becomes sort of part of the family DNA.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't ever come forth because it's been 20 years. It's been 30 years. I.e. people coming forth about abuse 30 years later. The child who was abused by clergy. Mm. They come forth, and not only are they saying it now, but now that's a family secret that may or may not have been known, but it's a family secret that comes forward.
So often you hear... Sorry, Josh, go on.
I was going to say, we are so good at taking traumatic experiences and figuring out for survival how to fold them up and twist them around and pack them away because it is our body and our mind's way of saying, this is how I go on. Mm-hmm. It's not healthy, but it allows us to survive.
Yeah,
go ahead.
A survival mechanism. So often we hear, and picking up on that, on the issue of abuse, so often in conversations that I've had with people, and they say, you know, it wasn't until after my parents had died or this person had died that I felt able to come forward and say that I was abused, because I know how devastated they would have been by that revelation. And I was terrified of the impact that that would have had on the wider family. What a burden to carry.
An article just came out, I believe, in the States, globally, Wall Street Journal, about why daughters will tell a correspondent about abuse and not tell their fathers. And the article basically said, here's why your daughter won't tell you, your father, that they've been assaulted. Because they don't want to hurt their parents' feelings. Because they know their parents love them. Mm-hmm. They know not that their parents would be angry with them, but they feel ashamed of it, and they don't want to, it's not them, they don't want to hurt their parents. They don't want to cause it. So, again, we talk about why are secrets kept and when do they come forth. A lot of times they're kept because we're trying to protect. We're trying to protect. Now, we may cause harm by protecting, but we're trying to protect. We're either trying to protect ourselves, we're trying to protect our family, we're trying to protect somebody else, but we know that what is the event or the situation is one that's not going to be widely accepted, or we assume that. And that's why the less severe ones, divorce, addiction, a mental health problem, homosexuality, ones that have a little bit more cultural acceptance, that's why it's important for those. Those need to start coming forward because the door has already been opened. Abuse by clergy. You know, so again, what I try to tell people is, I understand you don't want to tell anybody, and I respect that, but I don't ever want you to think, and you have to remind yourself, our secret, as painful as it is about our family, is probably not unique to us. Probably. Now, you know, there's some, but probably not unique to us, and there are others with similar secrets, and I need to weigh that in when I think about how to communicate about it to somebody.
Yeah, very true, very true. 19 minutes to midnight. If you are just joining us, welcome. It's a Wednesday evening, which means, of course, that we are joined on the line by behavioural scientist and clinical psychologist Dr. Josh Klapo for what we like to call... Oh, hello! For what we like to call, don't call Dr. Josh when he's on air, for what we like to call Ask Dr. Josh. And tonight we are talking about family secrets. Should family secrets be kept? Perhaps you have an experience of a secret in your family that an unspoken secret, perhaps. Everyone knows it, but no one ever talks about it. Or perhaps you have recently found out about a family secret and are struggling to come to terms with that. We'd love to hear from you this evening. 021-446-0567. This is a safe space. You can SMS us 31567 or drop us a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. We've had a message in that says, hi, SJ, I'm an adoptive parent of a precious girl. She has a papa and a daddy who are both white and she is brown. So fortunately, we can't ever keep that a secret. You know what? The interesting thing here is that people often say to me, well, you must have known you were adopted because you are black and your adoptive parents were white. And I'll be completely honest with you. Even though I knew from a very young age, and kudos to my parents who told us, people always ask that of adoptive people. When did you find out? I've always known. I don't know how they did it. It's not to say it didn't come with issues and identity stuff and all the rest of it, but I've always known. I've always known that I was adopted. But that was because my parents told me. It wasn't because I sort of looked at my skin and I looked at their skin and as a tiny child thought, I can't possibly be. Because you don't think like that as a child. That's not how children think. That's not to say children are colorblind. Of course children aren't colorblind. But if somebody tells you that's your mom and that's the only mom that you've ever known, then that's mom. Just because they happen to have a different skin color, that is not enough as a very young child for you to sort of sit there and go, I think something's going on here. I don't think I can possibly be the child. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. To continue with that message, she's only four, but she gets it. Don't underestimate your kids. They can deal with reality if you make them proud of their reality. Thanks very much for that. Another message that you've had in says that my childhood is a secret between me and my mother. I left the country to be myself. Where I live now, I am myself, but back in my home country, I have to be someone else for the sake of the secret. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it, that as we were talking about, the burden of carrying on a secret in order to not rock the boat, as it were.
Absolutely. And you know, it's hard to talk about it generically because there's so many different examples. Yeah. But as a general rule, you sort of think about in terms of the secret and should it be told or should it not be told? Who should tell it and who should not? So So you think about a couple things. One, particularly with kids, but even relationships, is the person, is the secret that you're keeping, is the person going to find out, is it likely that they're going to find out themselves?
Mm.
And if so, are they going to find out from somebody other than you? So even in the case of adoption, and even in your case, when you talked about being a different skin color, you're right. When you're three or four, you may have noticed it, but it didn't register.
No.
But if you think about it, at some point, if nobody would have told you anything, at some point when you got into school, there would have been information that came to you that went, hey, you don't look like your parents.
Yes.
What your parents, your adoptive parents did is they likely started socializing that before before all the questions came up, but they likely also did it in a way that's what we call about developmentally appropriate.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you the whole story.
No,
they told
didn't.
You what you needed to
exactly.
hear. Exactly. And then to your message, your individual who sent the message about moving away. How sad, but what a reality. Sometimes, yes, the secrets about ourselves, our parents can't handle.
Mm.
They can't handle it. As humans, they can't handle it. And as individuals, we make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to carry this burden myself, and I'm going to go off on a different trajectory. It doesn't even have to destroy a relationship. Sometimes it's a part of the of reality is I will bear this secret or this burden. But it differs for every person. And I guess what I would say is it's usually better to give it a shot, to dribble a little bit of it out, to test the waters, to tell somebody, to see, can this be accepted? Because what you think is the most horrific secret in the world may or may not be in the eyes of other people.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's the isolation that is created by a secret. The isolation that's created by a secret, and then the fear that builds in the isolation and the silence of I'm the only one going through this. Here's a question for you. Are other people's secrets yours to tell? So I'm thinking about a family situation. Let's say you've got mum, dad, brother, sister, sister's married and is husband is having an affair. Brother finds out. Is it brother's business to tell mum and dad, or do you just mind your own business and offer support to sis?
Oh, that's so hard generically. I get asked this a lot because, you know, and I'm going to give you the psychologist, the true answer is it depends. And it really does depend. And what I would say is in a situation like that, you're playing with fire. Sometimes you need to play with fire. Sometimes you need to yell fire, but don't be so quick to yell. And so again, you have to go through these motions of asking yourself, essentially, if I say something, who will be harmed? If I don't say something, who will be harmed? If I don't say something, who's going to find out anyway? If I say something, will they have found out by somebody else? You know, so you have to kind of go through these decision trees, and I'm not saying that it creates a perfect calculation, but what it does by sort of forcing yourself, Sarah Jane, to go through those questions is it forces you to really think about the ramifications, because usually what we want to do, in the case that you just described, is what we want to do is we want to either blurt it out or we want to say, oh, it's none of my business. Because basically, either way, blurt it out or say it's none of my business, what we're doing is we're making the uncomfortable feeling go away. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
It's I can't handle it, so I'm either going to say something and get off my chest, or I'm going to say it's none of my business. Well, really what you're doing is you're just appeasing your own anxiety. Feel the discomfort by asking yourself those questions. What are the ramifications? Because it's going to force you to step into the shoes of the situation deeper, which brings you emotionally closer to it, which allows you to make a decision that takes into consideration others.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. A message in on Facebook. Oh, this is a toughie. My older sister is actually my mother. The whole family think I don't know. Sure.
Oh, say that again. My older sister is
actually my mother, and my family think that I don't know. Hmm.
Oh, my family thinks I don't know. Yeah. They know.
Yeah.
And I know, so that's but they the don't secret. Know that
yeah.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So same sort of thing. Now, that's an interesting one for two reasons. One, that's a pretty extreme secret.
Yeah.
But yet, think about it, Sarah Jane. It's not a secret.
Yeah.
They know that the family knows. The family knows, but the family doesn't know that this person knows. So all that it takes is this person to tell the family, hey, I know.
Yeah, so it's a very badly kept secret.
Yeah, that's right. Which, in that, you know, so that I would ask that this person, I would say to this person, do you want your family to know that you know?
Mm.
Do you not want your family? Because they already know, and you know. Everybody knows, but you don't. They don't know that you know. And so it's one link away, and so you go through the same exercise. What happens if you tell your family that you know? Maybe the burden is released.
Mm.
It's possible.
I always think that's worse than a secret being kept. Let me be careful about saying that because I'm somebody that, and I think because of my personal story, I am somebody who wants to know everything. I don't like surprises. I don't like secrets. I don't, you know, even good surprises. I don't like when I feel like things are happening that I don't know about. It makes me so, so uncomfortable. And I think that is the legacy of my experience. But I, the thought that people do know and just aren't talking about it, which just to me is so horribly unhealthy and toxic. It's almost as bad as not knowing, as it being a secret proper.
You are, again, this last scenario that you just described, the secret itself is pretty extreme, right? My sister is my mother. I mean, that's a pretty extreme. But let's put that actually to the side for a second and say, we have this secret that I know about, my family knows about, and the only link that's causing this weirdness is they don't know that I know. That's it. It's not that the secret's out of the bag. The secret is out of the bag. It's just that we haven't told each other. And in that case, you're absolutely right. It's why wouldn't you say to your family, hey, look, I know, particularly if it's eating at you.
Mm.
Particularly if it's eating at you. That is a safer one because more people know. It's not really a secret. Now, if you said, you know, should we announce it to the world? Probably not, maybe not, but you're not even doing that. It's like, it's literally, to your scenario, it's like bringing someone up to the big kids, to the adult table. Time to communicate versus to pretend that nothing is going on.
A friend I went to school with, I've always got a tale. I mean, I'm, you know, never boring with SJK. A friend I went to school with, her father, she was one of three children, and her father had killed his girlfriend. He'd strangled his girlfriend to death. And she was very, very small when it, like, very small, sort of two or three, when it happened. And although dad wasn't living in the home because her parents were divorced, I mean, she would still sort of see him occasionally on visitation and whatever. And her mother made the decision to tell her from as soon as it happened what had happened, and said, you know, obviously the father went to prison, and she knew from the time it happened that daddy was in jail and why daddy was in jail. I have to say, for someone, she's my age, so she's 38, very happily married with two children of her own, and for somebody for whom that was their experience, she seems terribly well-rounded. I mean, she has her issues, but we all do, but it's not something that she hasn't, you know, become a complete wreck because of this. And she says to this day, she's so glad that her mother told her the truth, even at that young age. Because she said, you know, if she'd have found out by accident or by a letter or by a newspaper article or whatever later, it would have been so horrendous. But her parent or her mother and the rest of the family, I'm guessing, sort of held space for her and told her the truth.
So important about deciding, do we say something or do we not say something, it really comes down to a lot of times, is this person going to find out? And if so, when? Or what's the likelihood?
Exactly.
And if so, by whom? And to your point, which is better? Because the reality is they're going to find out. So we can't keep it a secret forever. So is it better that they find out from a newspaper article, or is it better that they find out from us? Now, where you do have to be careful when it comes to children is don't jump, you know, you don't want to jump too quickly, because sometimes the information is, frankly, too much for a child to understand. You don't need to tell a six-year-old child or a five-year-old child, not that their parent is in jail, you have to tell them that if, in fact, they're going to see them. But you don't need to necessarily tell them when they're five or six that they're in jail because they murdered somebody.
Because they
don't have the ability. But maybe at 7 or 8 or 9, you start saying, Daddy did a bad thing. Did you see? And that, again, it's not spilling the beans when it comes to these kinds of things can be a developmental, lifelong conversation. And you revisit it and you revisit it. It's the parents that say, well, I told them. They were 8. I told them. We never talked about it again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that doesn't work.
See, that's an interesting point as well. It's, and I think with things like that, and so for me, yes, I was told from a very, very young age that I was adopted. That initial truth was communicated, but that kind of was the end of the conversation. There was no real, like, then age appropriate follow up throughout my growing up, which is why I kind of grew up and was like, who the hell am I and what am I doing? So again, in that sense, and I can't say because I don't know what happened to my friend and how the story then sort of transpired, but yet to sort of say, Dad killed his girlfriend and he's in prison, you're 3, end of conversation. And then it never gets mentioned again until, you know, 25, by which point you're a nutcase.
Well, your job as a parent, your responsibility, and parents don't like to hear this when it comes to uncomfortable conversations like that, is to do the following. If you're going to tell a young child something that is sort of earth-shattering, that affects them and sort of, to some degree, defines a part of who they are, your job as a parent is to be there to address it and readdress it over and over again as the child queries about it, or as the child asks questions, or as the child exhibits behavior that you know is related. And I say that because a lot of parents will say, well, they never asked me again. Well, yeah, but did they start acting out when they were 9? And you told them when they were 6 and they were acting out and it had to do with parents? Guess what? They're asking you. They're just asking you in a nonverbal way. Your job as the parent is to be there to help them incorporate the trauma or the secret over the course of their lifetime. That may be answering questions. That may be restating it. That may be leaving it alone. But you don't get to have just one shot and then tell them to go away.
This has been one of my favorite discussions that we've had. I think it's an important one that we've had. And I hope if you are listening out there and this is something that you're experiencing, I hope that you've been able to take something from the conversation.